We are now joined by the race-winning driver of the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart here at Echo Park Speedway. We're going to open right up the questions. We are going to start with Chris in the back and work our way around.
Hey Chase, I'm Chris Gollin with MotorStardom.com. First off, congratulations on the win. I wanted to know how it felt tonight hearing the, number one, the reaction from the crowd after 44 races without getting to hear him do that. The chanting, Chase, Chase, Chase. I mean, what does it mean to you personally that even after 44 races without winning, you're still the guy, you're still the face of the sport, you're still the one, the only one that can get the crowd like this?
Yeah, thanks. It was, just truthfully a pretty surreal moment. I mean, there's really only been one other time in my career that I felt like, I don't even know. I'm not even sure that anything has ever matched that. Like, that was just, it was crazy. I've never like, you know, been on stage and been a singer or anything like that, but I would have to imagine, you know, it would have to feel something like that. You know, it was just, such an incredible experience. And to your point, you know, I think that it just kind of goes to show how great our fans have been to me and to us, and it just kind of really makes you appreciate them even more for really sticking with us and not giving up hope, and ultimately being able to give both me and my team an experience like that, you know, because of their determination and you know, unwillingness to quit on us is really cool. So just, grateful to have experienced that, something I'll remember for the rest of my life. You know, winning at home was incredible the first time, and they feel different, but, you know, this one, Saturday night, under the lights, been a while since we won. Getting ourselves a win and advancing up on the playoff thing, and just all the things that have come with this, you know, that was that one was up there for sure. And grateful to have experienced it.
Do you think that was the loudest you've ever heard the crowd after any of your wins?
It was for me, for sure. I mean, I can't think of one that was any louder than that. That one was it was different. I mean, it was different. There was a couple times. You know, there was one time throughout the night that I guess they had like taken out their cell phones or something and had the lights on. We were coming to a restart, and I was like, man, it was just visibly from my seat, you know, it caught my attention. And typically it's kind of hard to get a good angle at that, but that just caught my attention. And I was like, man, this place looks good tonight, you know? And to see them that excited after the race for me was just, it was crazy. You know, it was crazy. It was surreal. I don't really know how else to describe it. And it's just one of those moments you wish you could bottle up, you know, and get it out every now and again, and you know, live it, relive it. But I try to box it up the best I can, and make sure I never forget it.
Thanks, Chase.
Thanks.
We'll go next to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. You said after the race it was a wild race. Is there any more satisfaction from just a driver's standpoint to win a wild race?
Just to win a race, you know, is nice. In general, I'm not going to get picky with whether it's wild or boring. I mean, it was nice to come in, you know, come out on the good end of that. It could have been one of five or six of us, you know, there at the end. And I think, you know, for me, fortunately, the runs just really timed up at the perfect time, and we were able to do something with them. But I'm proud of race wins, whether they're wild or boring or lucky or, you know, whatever, anywhere in between.
And how would you rate your burnout, and did you have a plan for it? Because it seemed to be pretty sweet.
Was it? Oh, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. I did not have a plan. There was no plan. It was very much just in the moment, and tried to do what I could to make it cool, and hope that everybody enjoyed it. That was all. I definitely did not have time to think through what kind of a burnout I was going to do if we won that race. I mean, it was just, you know, chaos. So, but yeah, hope it was good for everybody.
We're gonna go next to Doug.
Doug Turnbull, PRN and 11 Alive. Wanted to ask not about anything on the track, but a lot of times you fly yourself to the track, or particularly I think you do at home anyway. Is this a night that you fly home, or do you stay in the motorhome? Like, if you're responsible for your own transportation when you win a race, how does that change?
I'm just going to drive home tonight.
Like tonight?
Yeah, whenever we get done.
Man, that's wild.
I mean, it's not that far.
That's fair.
I sleep in my bed.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
We're going to go next to Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital Chase. I know the moment at the start-finish line was special with Raylan. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the design and drive program. Almost 10 years now since you started it. What was the inspiration behind getting that program started with you in Napa? And then how special is it to finally bring one of those schemes to Victory Lane tonight?
Yeah, the whole thing has been incredible. We had an event this week. It was the ninth year of Design to Drive, and we felt like there's been a lot of influential people that have made that foundational effort what it has become today. I think it far outgrew our expectations of what we thought it would ever be. That's large in part to Napa for them, you know. I mean, they literally pay for a race and say, here, you just take this and do whatever you want with it. How often do you see that? Never, right? So I think that's pretty special. And, you know, we just thought it was time to get everyone together and just say thanks, you know, the other night. And we did, and that included partners, that included relationships that have been built through the program. My mom deserves a lot of credit for my foundation in general. And kind of getting that going, and some of her relationships with Choa, and you know, really just kind of to get the ball rolling, and you know, since then it has become a very much a team effort, and to grow in this to be what it is. It started off as a shoe program that we auctioned off. You know, all four Hendrick drivers wore them, and then Napa got involved, and when they got involved, that really allowed us to take the whole designing process to another level and really get a lot more engagement in it and through it. So just incredible. Raylan and her family were just amazing people, you know, and you know, I'm always inspired by those stories and the things that you hear her say, you know, and the things that motivate her, I think, are things that should be contagious to all of us, and lessons that can be taken in anyone's life. So grateful to have her here. I told her this is not normal, you know, so make sure you enjoy this, you know, and, you know, as much as she could, because, you know, those types of moments and just all the stars aligning, you just, that stuff doesn't happen every day, you know, and I recognize that, and, you know, I try to cherish that stuff because, you know, it's just hard to come by.
What kind of impact do moments like that have on you as a person, getting to work with kids like those at Children's of Atlanta? I mean, are those the kind of moments that just let you step back and give you that perspective of how many other things are bigger than the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things bigger than the sport, and that's certainly a great reminder. You know, being one of them. But like I said, I mean, just, you know, those, so many of those kids have had just extremely tough roads, and of, you know, and it's no fault of their own, right? And you know, it's important to recognize too, it's not just the individual, it's the entire family, right? And you know, Raylan brought her brother out, and she was just excited to have him out here, because she said that, you know, he's missed so many things because of me, that I want him to go and have fun, right? So, you know, I think that those types of moments are, you know, just important to recognize the type of attitude that it takes to endure those journeys as a family unit and to not break apart. Just a lot of good lessons and all that stuff, and, you know, grateful to have witnessed it and to you know, to have lived, you know, tonight with them, and hopefully give them a day that they'll never forget.
Okay, we're going to go all the way to the back, and they'll come up front to Jordan.
Chase, congratulations on the win. I know there was debate towards the end of the first stage whether to pit or not or stay out. When you look up and saw the chaos and melee in the back view mirror, did that kind of reassure you all made the right decision?
Hindsight's always 20/20, right? Like, of course, yeah, you very well could have been caught up in that crash, but the crash doesn't happen, and maybe the calls that, you know, ended up pitting those guys work out. So
And your mom had a special four-legged friend in victory lane for you. How cool was it to have your dog here in victory lane?
Yeah, it was awesome. That was his first win, so he got to experience a dub here in Atlanta. So that was pretty cool. He's a great dog. I don't take him a ton. Obviously it's kind of hard to travel with a big Doberman, but he's been a good pup, and really cool to have him in victory lane and. Have some pictures with him there.
Thank you.
Yep.
Go up next to Jordan and then the Wolfgang.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but amid this winless streak, right, do you kind of find yourself appreciating the wins more often because you realize, they don't always come in bunches like they sometimes do?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely been lessons, throughout that certainly – have made me enjoy them, but truthfully, I was already to a point, even before, Texas or the road to that, or even the road to tonight, that I think I knew that to a pretty large degree, and truthfully, I think the road to one was long enough that, and there had been enough close calls and enough just gut-wrenching losses in all those second places that led to Watkins Glen that fortunately I think that I got a pretty good taste of that or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, but I got a pretty good taste of it early on. That I don't think that has necessarily bothered me. I just want to be competitive, and it's like I've told you guys before, I think that if you're, for me, satisfaction and showing up on a weekend is, were we relevant? Or were we in contention? Did we actually have a shot? Were we up there with pace and doing the right things? Because I believe that in this sport, if you're doing all those right things, A, that's something to be proud of, and B, if you're doing them regularly, you're going to get your turn. And, I thought tonight was a great example of that. Truthfully, the past 3 or 4 weeks have been a good example of that. We've had some good runs. We've put together some great races, had some good finishes, and just had ourselves in the hunt tonight, and the cards fell our way. And, that's the goal every week, is just to keep yourself in the hunt and be right there in the mix. And certainly if things work out, I'll always cherish and enjoy them as much as possible, because they are hard to win, and nobody has anything promised to them. So I recognize that, and I'll never take that for granted in those moments, and especially to do that here at home.
When you have this stretch where it can be frustrating, right? And how do you not start pointing fingers, whether at yourself or the team, and start questioning different things going on, and we need to change this, or why aren't we doing this? How do you maintain the focus forward that you seem to have?
Well, I think that's large in part to Alan, our relationship together, and I just a large part of our group has been the same since I got here, and obviously Alan and I have been working together for 10 years now, and there have been some personnel changes here and there, so totally understand that. But when you climb, and when you're fortunate enough to climb the mountain and to be able to stand at the top of the mountain with someone, that's an incredible achievement, right? And that's something that he and I will always cherish and remember, and we did that together, right? And since then we have failed to climb that mountain, again, like we want, and we've fallen off of it a few times. And for me, it's really, really important to climb that mountain with the same people that we did the first time, and know that we never quit on each other. That's just a really important piece of the puzzle for me. I'm not sure it would really even feel the same if we all jumped ship And, you know, I alluded to it on TV earlier, but I'm just really proud of all of our guys for not doing just that and just showing up every week and having great attitudes and just doing everything in their power to put the car and the, you know, the product on the racetrack that they do in the car, the effort they put in going over the wall, the way Alan brings intensity to the racetrack and calling races, to meetings, to making sure he's getting everything out of me. Like, it's just all right there. And we have such a good group and a good, talented group of people that are really driven and motivated, and good people away from the racetrack too, that it's just, you know, you can't quit on that.
We go to Wolfgang, then to Dustin, my man in the Braves hat back there.
Chase, first of all, congratulations. Two questions. At stage two, you were just inches behind Reddick. In fact, you have placed maybe the overtaking maneuver a little bit earlier. You think you have maybe a chance to have overtaken him, Colin?
Maybe. I mean, I tried. I tried my best. I came up short.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't know. What do you want me to do? Try again?
And then the second question is, shortly after the restart of the last caution when Haley spun out, you were for one or two laps in the sandwich of the two RFK cars, Keselowski and Bishop.
Yep.
You were thinking at that time that could be a little bit risky for you?
I mean, certainly the numbers were not in my favor at that point, and I knew that. And Alex did too, right? You know, he and I were kind of, it was kind of me and him against the, you know, the 17 and the 6. And, you know, both Brad and Chris are great speedway racers, and they're really fast, and they were doing a really good job controlling the race. And it was really difficult for me to get and have any sort of control. I just felt like I was always, they always had a big run on me anytime I got the lead, and I didn't really know how to defend that. And I was just hoping that Alex and I could somehow get in the middle of that and, you know, give one of us a shot. And fortunately, all the cards kind of fell right, you know, there in the closing laps to get a couple big runs. Got 2-for-1 there, getting into one, got to second. Somehow Alex got to third. And, you know, at that point, I think whether roles were the way they were or roles were reversed, if he and I did anything but push one another in that situation, we were handing the race to Brad, right? So we just, you know, he did me a huge solid and lining up and giving me a big shove. And it was enough for me to get, you know, get by Brad and get back around there to, you know, finish it off.
Yep. Next to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, kind of continue that. If you didn't have Alex behind you on that last lap, and when we saw big moves, how might that have changed, or what would that have allowed you, or maybe limited you in what you could have done with not having Alex in that case?
I mean, yeah, obviously, who knows in that situation, right? Like, I think off of 4 coming to the white, you know, I alluded to it a second ago, but if he takes me too wide right there, the race is over, more than likely. You know, we're going to drag each other back. There was a pretty big gap back to 4th, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't watched it back closely, but the way I remember it, there was. So then we're kind of letting Brad get away, and there at that point we would have been side by side down the front and probably side by side through 1 and 2, and you know, we're never going to have enough time. So, you know, he and I both knew that the only shot we as a company had at that juncture was to line up and push and hope that something worked out good, you know, in our favor, because at that point it was 2-on-1. You know, whether it was he or I think that, you know, obviously we both want to win, and you know, I recognize that he gave me a great shove. I recognize that he took his run on Brad too to try to get himself to second, which ultimately helped me as well. Yeah, those are all things that I, you know, remember, you know, we'll do everything we can do to try and bring fast cars over the course of the, you know, next number of weeks, and hope those guys can get a win. I think they deserve it. They've been fast. He's had a terrible run of luck, I feel like, over the last month. So it'd be nice to see him, you know, grab a win and get in.
there at the back.
Yes, Al Romero, Southern Race Week Radio. Congratulations, Chase, on the win.
Thanks.
Let me ask you this. We saw a lot of emotion after your win there, and you went into the crowd and celebrated with them, something we don't rarely see you do when you win. Where does this win stack up in the wins you've had in your career in the Cubs series?
Yeah, it's up there for sure. I mean, just the whole thing. I mean, I talked about it a little bit, but just you know, it's always such a whirlwind. Like, from the time the race ends to the time I get in here, like, I haven't just had a minute. You know what I mean? And sometimes it takes a minute. And, you know, to Doug's point, I'm going to get to drive home, and I get to have a minute to myself, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'll probably have a better answer for you, you know, later on. But tonight was really special, I can tell you that. And just the way the stars aligned and everything that went into the deal, and, you know, having the Mills family here, and a lot of people from Napa Genuine Parts and Cox Automotive with Kelly Blue Book, and just, you know, Coca-Cola, fortunate to have a lot of Atlanta-based partners. And, you know, it's not just home for me, it's kind of home for the entire car. And that's kind of a rare thing to share with your sponsors, but it's, you know, just a special deal. So I had my mom here tonight. That was really cool. You know, just a lot of stuff, and I haven't even thought about all of it. So as I reflect, I'll probably give you a better answer, but it's pretty special.
Go next to John. We'll wrap up with the man in black there in the back.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So first off, inspection's clear, and you're good.
Oh, that's good. So, I've been on the other end of that, so.
And then my actual question was, according to, you know, the broadcast, you were one of only four drivers who was not involved in some sort of incident. So with the ability that you had to, you know, make aggressive moves, slice and dice of the field, how did you pull that off? Because I know the car wasn't handling the best early in the race.
Yeah. I mean, I think just good fortune, luck, you know, at certain points. I mean, there's certain times when accidents happen. I mean, there's just very little you can do, you know, truthfully. So we were in good positions at good points in time for us. And there'll be some point down the road that we won't be, you know, and that's just racing. But fortunately, it worked out for us tonight, and, you know, was able to stay out of the mess. And, you know, Alan made some good calls there early to keep his track position, and that typically is bettering your odds, right? So you can do some stuff, but you're never totally safe. But yeah, I don't really have a good answer for you other than it just kind of worked out. And fortunately, I had a fast car, and all the cards fell our way there at the end.
Okay, we'll wrap up in the back there.
Declan Wayne, the Ponyfish. Chase, congrats on your 20th career NASCAR Cup Series win. I want to talk about towards the end of the race, working with Alex Bowman there at the end. Before the Justin Haley caution, it seemed like Brad and Chris Buescher were up there with you guys as well, fighting to take the lead there. Once he faded off, Buescher faded off at the end of the race. I mean, how big was it having Alex there in your back pocket to get around Brad and hold him off?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit a minute ago, you know, but he was a great teammate in that moment for sure. And like I said, you know, I think we're coming off four to the white, and if he takes me too wide, we are all but just saying, here, Brad, you can win, which, you know, if the roles are reversed, I guarantee you, you know, that wouldn't have been the case the other way around, right? So at that point in time, it's our job to, you know, as a company, to try and get Hendrick Motorsports a win, you know, at that point in time. And, you know, whether it was he or I, or, you know, however that transpired, right? And naturally, and it did just that. You know, he had a run, and, you know, he gave me a huge shove like we saw all night. I was able to do something with it, and, you know, fortunately it was enough to hold on.
Yeah, next two races we got, obviously, back-to-back road courses, and then obviously last road course race where you're at, third place finish. I mean, what kind of momentum are you rolling off of Mexico City to go into the next two road course races, especially we're going to the Midwest, and then we're going to go out west?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm really just kind of really proud of the last 4 weeks. You know, honestly, we had a really fast car at Michigan. You know, I thought we were really respectable up there. Good in Mexico. Thought we were also really respectable up at Pocono. You know, we weren't as good as the 11 or 12. I certainly understand that, but I thought we were right there in the hunt. you know, and maybe a little adjustment away from getting right up there with them. And certainly tonight we're right there in the mix. I understand this is a little different ball game, but you know, those are a lot of different styles of racetracks that I feel like our team's done a really solid job, and we're really close to just having all the pieces of the puzzle there. So there's really nowhere I'm not looking forward to going to, and embracing whatever challenge, you know, comes next.
Well, Chase, congratulations again.
Thank
on
you.
The win, and
yeah.
Good luck next week in
Appreciate
Chicago.
It. Have a good night, everybody.